Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. That was the Carpenter clan right there, all right? And so they did a great job. And, of course, Grace is heading back to college this week, and we definitely want to pray for her. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and let's go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. I am preaching this morning from one of my favorite books in the Bible, and I especially love Romans chapter number 8. My mom's life verse is Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." A great verse. But when we come to the book of Romans, we are finding great truths about the Christian life. Now, I do not know where you are at this morning. You may be here today and you're a Christian. You know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The only way to become a Christian is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. He is the only way. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ. I became a child of God, or another term is Christian, when I was 17 years of age in Knoxville, Tennessee, when I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. That day, that very moment when I put my faith and trust in Christ, Christ came to indwell me. In fact, I could put it this way, Christ in me. And this morning, I want to preach to you on this subject, Christ in you. I think sometimes that even as God's people, we seem to forget the most important thing about your life and my life is not really who we are, what we do. It is Christ in us. Christ is in us. He indwells us in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. Now today, maybe you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior. May I say to you, as the Bible would say, you are not in Christ and Christ is not in you. But the moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Christ comes to indwell you for all of eternity. And this morning, every time we come to a little phrase where it says, in Christ Jesus, or God dwell in you, I want you to underline it in the Bible. And may the Lord help us today. Christ in you. Let's read it. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. May I stop and say to you that every person without Jesus Christ walks and lives under the condemnation of God. In fact, the Bible says that the wrath of God abides upon them. Why? Because they are sinners. And their heart is a rebel against God. And until you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're under that condemnation. But this morning, if you're a Christian, there is no condemnation upon you. We stand before God with no condemnation. Verse number 3 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now this morning I have read just a portion of Romans chapter number 8. And you might say, well, Pastor, this is a somewhat of a deep message for a Sunday morning. But folks, may I say to you that this is one of the most important doctrines in the Bible for every child of God. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning, I plead with you and beg of you to accept Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. But if you are a child of God, Christ dwells in you today in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus told His disciples when He had risen from the grave, He said that it is expedient for you, it's in your best interest that I go away. I'm sure the disciples thought to themselves, Lord, it is not in our best interest. Can you imagine being with Jesus, seeing Him, being able to hear His words audibly, being able to talk with Him? And Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. For if I go away, He said, I will send the Holy Spirit. And folks, today, one of the greatest promises that God has ever given to the child of God is that the moment we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, Christ comes to indwell us in the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. Let's take our Bibles this morning and let's go, if you would, please, because I want to show you some simple thoughts. John chapter number 14. You are there in Romans if you'll turn back to John chapter number 14. Now, folks, this morning, Christ in you is the Holy Spirit of God. He is God. He is Christ. We believe in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He indwells us today. But so many Christians live their lives without any regard to Christ in you. Christ in you gives us strength. It gives us power. It gives us that divine enablement. It enables us to live the Christian life, not in our own strength, but in the strength of who indwells us, Christ in you. It is the Holy Spirit of God. Now look what the Bible says in John chapter 14. Let's begin in verse number 16. First, I want you to see this morning that Christ in you is a permanent gift. A permanent gift. How many have children in here? Would you raise your hand? All right? All right, very good. How many would be honest to say that children lose things often? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Yes. Is it not something about kids, how they lose things? But is it not something about us adults that we lose things as well? How many has ever misplaced something and you could not find it? Would you raise your hand? All right. How many has ever misplaced your glasses and found them on top of your head before? Would you raise your hand? Yes. All right. How many men know that your wife knows where everything is that you've ever misplaced in your whole life? Would you raise your hand? All right. Yes. We understand that, do we not? Well, you know something, the truth is, there is a false doctrine out there that says that you can lose your salvation. That says that you can lose Christ in you. Folks, may I say to you that God gave you a wonderful gift. The moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were adopted into the family of God, and Christ came to indwell you in the Holy Spirit. Folks, may I say to you, if we could lose our salvation, you would lose your salvation. But folks, the great news is, and the great promise from the Word of God is that, folks, we cannot lose our salvation because Jesus Christ is keeping us saved. I am not keeping myself saved. I am not keeping myself in the family of God. I am a part of the family of God by a spiritual new birth in Christ. I spoke with my dad last night for a little bit of time, and my dad's preaching this morning in his church at New Testament Baptist Church in Maynardville, Tennessee. But I spoke with my dad. You know something? I could call my dad up, and I could say, "Dad, I'm sorry. I'm not going to talk to you ever again." That'd break his heart. I could say, "Dad, I'm changing my name, my last name. I'm not going to be a Samples anymore. And Dad, I'm never going to be your son ever again. I'm getting out of the family." Can I tell you something? I could do all of that, but I would still be the child to my dad and my mom. Why? I was born to them. And folks, the day that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are born a spiritual birth into the family of God. And once you're in, you cannot get out. Just like the Bible told, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And may I say to you, there must be a new birth in your life. And the new birth can only happen because of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Christ in you is a permanent gift. But I wonder, do you know what you really have? John chapter 14, notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. It says this. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." It is remarkable that Jesus used the word "another." It means just like me. Another Comforter, that He may abide with you. What's the next two words? Forever. We read on in verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you." What a great promise this morning that we have, that Christ indwells us. He is a permanent gift. You can never lose Jesus Christ because He indwells you. And by the way, this gift, why is it a gift? I'll tell you why it is a gift. Because this gift was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross and He bled and died, and He paid for the sins of all of mankind. That is why you cannot get to heaven through the church or through the waters of baptism or through good deeds, because it took the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He purchased your salvation. And the moment that you pray to receive Jesus as your Savior, you are brought into the family of God, and Christ comes to indwell you forever. It's a permanent gift. You know, so often people do not know the gifts that they have. For instance, I don't know if you are in the habit of going to garage sales. How many enjoys going to garage sales? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right, there's nothing wrong with that. Someone's trash can become your treasure, you know? That's how it works, right? But you know what? It is remarkable to me that what people do sell at garage sales. In fact, there have been many, many stories. I mean, hundreds, thousands of stories of people selling things at garage sales that they did not know the real value of them. Now, it's terrible to think about it. Here's a person out there. They've labored. By the way, if you've ever put on a garage sale, it is really no fun whatsoever, you know? It's a lot of work, and you sit out there all day waiting for people to come by, and they go through all your stuff, and you're just trying to make a little money, right? And I feel sorry for the people that they sell things that are worth more than their house and cars and everything in their garage sale that they had no idea. In fact, I heard about a man in Las Vegas. He was in a neighborhood, And he came to some garage sales, and he went to a certain place, and there, just a normal average home, and he bought a painting, paid $5 for the painting. He thought it was very nice. He took it home, began to examine it, began to inspect it just a little bit, and began to understand that there was a painting behind the painting. And the painting behind the painting was an artist's natural rendering, and it was worth millions of dollars. The man who sold the painting had no idea what he had in his home. He had something worth millions of dollars. He did not know what gift he really had. You know something? There are some Christians today that live like spiritual paupers. They live like there's no hope in this world. They live as if they have no reason to live. There is no strength. There is no resources. But Christ in you indwells you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Do you know this morning what you have? Do you know this morning that we can pray to the God of heaven because Christ indwells every child of God? Do you know this morning that we can abide in Him and we can receive strength to live the Christian life? That we can have everything that we need to live the kind of life God has given us to live because Christ lives in you. He is a permanent gift. By the way, you know this morning that no Christian can live the Christian life in his or her own strength. That's why God has given you this gift. It's called the Holy Spirit who indwells us. He's the one who convicts us of sin in our life. He is the one who leads us in the right path. He is the one who teaches us the Word of God. It is Christ in us. And yet so often, we live discouraged and depressed lives, thinking that God has forsaken us or something, when Jesus Christ indwells you. You know something today? We must let the Lord live His life through us. By the way, do you know that God has never asked any Christian to live the Christian life? You said, well, that's great. I came to church. I don't have to live the Christian life anymore. That's what the preacher told us. No. May I tell you, God does not ask you to live the Christian life. He asks you to let Him live His life through you. We are just a vessel. In fact, 1 Corinthians, would you take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, we're on a journey today because I want to show you this principle of Christ in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice what the Bible tells us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Christ in you is a permanent gift. As you're turning there, this reminds me of a story that I read years ago. There was a lady, her name was Hetty Green. Miss Green lived and back in the early 1900s. In fact, she died in 1916. When Hetty Green died, she had one child. She died with $100 million in the bank. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's not bad right now, but that was a whole lot of money back in 1916. Think of that. But you would have never known that Hetty Green was a multimillionaire. You know why? Because Hetty Green lived in a broken-down old home, just terrible-looking home. She ate cold oatmeal because she felt that it was too expensive to heat up the oatmeal. Now, let me just tell you something. Oatmeal's good, but I ain't eating it cold. I got news for you right now. But that's how she ate it. In fact, her son developed an infection in his leg. Now think of $100 million in the bank. And she spent so long looking for a free clinic that the boy developed an incurable infection and had to have his leg amputated because the mom would not use the resources that was available to her. She died in misery. She died in disdain with no friends. She died in a pauper's looking home with $100 million in the bank. You know something? We would think, why did you do that? You could have been a blessing to so many people. You could have lived in the lap of luxury. You could have had anything that you ever wanted. And yet she lived as if she had no finances. Folks, today, every child of God who lives in the bondage of sin, every child of God who lives with habits, sin habits in their life that they think that they cannot get over, every child of God that lives with wounds in their heart that they are not willing to let Jesus heal those, every child of God that lives in powerlessness and lives a depressed Christian life is living just like Hetty Green, because Jesus Christ indwells you today. He is the one who enables you to have victory over the sin habits. He is the one who enables us to live a life, not a sinless life here on earth, but a victorious Christian life. He is the one who enables us to pray and to spend time alone with the Father. He enables us to abide in Christ. Christ in you is a permanent gift. But are you wasting the gift? Have you put the gift in a closet somewhere and said, that's great, but I'm not going to use it? You know, I remember when I was a kid, I remember that I often would get something new, like a new pair of tennis shoes or something, and I was so afraid of getting them dirty or ruining them that I didn't want to use them. And one day I remember my dad said, son, I bought that for you. I want you to use that. And I said, Daddy, I'm afraid of getting them dirty. You know something? It was a gift. My dad purchased it. It was given to me to use, to enjoy. And may I say to you, the Spirit of God indwells us today as children of God to enable us to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. You know something? If you say to yourself, well, this is just the way I am, then I'm going to tell you something. You are not allowing Christ in you to live His life through you. If you're saying, I just can't get over this sin in my life, I can't give up this thing in my life, you are not recognizing Christ in you as a permanent gift. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And by the way, brethren, the day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I was adopted into the family of God, but no longer is my life my own. That's what the Bible says. I am bought with a price. My body, this physical body that you see today, is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, I am to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. Christ in you is a permanent gift. But number two this morning, Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. Now, let's take our Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to show you something that I pray that you can understand. When I first came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I didn't know too much about the Spirit of God who indwelled me. I really was confused about it. But Christ in you is the Holy Spirit. It's the gift that God gave to you the moment that you were saved. But Christ in you is not a force. He is not an influence. He is a person. Jesus Christ indwells you today. He is a person, and that person can be grieved. Now, the word grieve that we're going to look at here in just a moment is a love word. The ideal is, it's literally the word that's used to describe when a loved one passes away. I've done way too many funerals in our church, and I'm sure that I will do more. But I want you to know this, every time I'm with a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or children that their dad has passed away or mom or maybe a spouse has passed away or a child or a grandparent has gone home to be with the Lord, I'm going to tell you what I see. I see grief. Grief. I've been at the bedside, the hospital rooms of many of you in here, and I've seen you grieve. I've seen you weep. I've seen tears come down your face. Grief. And may I say to you the same word that we use to say, I'm grieving over the loss of a loved one, is the same word that God uses when Christ in you is grieved over sin in your life. I remember when I came to know Jesus as my Savior, I was taught that Christ indwelt me. I didn't understand it very well, but I do know this. I do know that when I remember the first time that I had knowingly sinned against God, and I did it by choice, I sinned against the Lord when I had already been saved. And I remember the moment that I sinned, I knew within my heart that I had grieved God, the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand here today, but I think every Christian, every true child of God understands that the moment you speak a word that is unkind, the moment that you use corrupt speech, the moment that you tell a lie, the moment that you do something or look at something that is dishonoring to Christ, you know what it is to grieve Christ in you. Well, Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. And by the way, in this building here today, there are only two types of Christians. You're either one or two of this type of Christian. You're either a Christian who is sitting here today that Christ in you is ungrieved. And that means that you are a Spirit-filled Christian. You're allowing the Spirit of God to control you, to take control of your life. We'll talk about that later. But there's the second type of Christian here, and it's a pretty miserable Christian. You are Christ. You are living as a Christian. Christ in you is grieved within your heart. I know what it is to live both ways. And by the way, is there not a battle? Is there not a war that wages within our heart? And the Bible says the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. My natural heart is weak. My natural heart is deceitful, and it is desperately wicked. But folks, when I let Christ in me control me, and when I do not live with the grieved Holy Spirit, that gives the joy of the Lord. And by the way, John chapter 15, and I may preach on this tonight, the Bible talks about that we are to abide in Christ. The word abide means to remain. And can I tell you something? There is joy in abiding in Christ. There is joy for the child of God when he or she does not live with a grieved Holy Spirit. Let's look at this. Ephesians chapter number 4, and let's begin in verse number 25. Ephesians 4 and verse number 25. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And you know something? The Lord gives us a list here in Ephesians chapter number 4. These are things that grieve God, the Holy Spirit. Number one, I want you to notice that in our text here, we find that when a Christian lies, it grieves God. You say, "Pastor, why does God begin with that?" Because the Spirit of God who indwells you, the Bible clearly says He is the Spirit of truth. You know something? That is why if the Spirit of God indwells you and you hear maybe another preacher or someone that's talking about religion or talking about the Bible and you hear something that doesn't ring true, can I tell you what the Spirit of God will say to you in your heart? Something wrong about that. Something wrong about that. That doesn't ring true. But it also means this. Have you ever been in church before and the preacher's preaching and God in your heart begins to work in you and God is saying to you, "That's right. That's truth. Listen to that. Believe that." You know what that is? Your spirit is bearing witness with that spirit. You see, folks, this is so wonderful to us that when a Christian lies or hears lies, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. Look, young people, can I tell you something? When you lie to mom and dad and you're a child of God, you grieve God, the Holy Spirit. Men, when we lie to our spouses, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. When you lie to your boss, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. When you lie to God, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you know something? The babies, the Bible says, they come forth from their wombs speaking lies. You know what, children? They're the biggest liars you've ever seen in your life, you know? They are. I remember years ago, our daughter's getting ready to go off to college in just a couple of weeks. But I'll never forget the morning, or I forget, maybe it was in the evening or something. Boy, she was screaming, hollering. I just knew there was a fire in her room. Someone had broken in. Someone was trying to carry her off. I busted through, about killed myself getting there. You know how it is. And opened the door, and she smiled at me and looked at me and laughed, you know? Can I tell you what she was doing? She was lying. She was saying, Daddy, come and get me. Hurry, help me. And there was nothing wrong with her. She was lying. She just wanted to be held. She just wanted to be picked up. She probably wanted something to eat or whatever it may be. Can I tell you something? We all deal with lying still in our life. And when we lie to other people, we might say it's just a little white lie. Brethren, there is no such thing as a white lie or a black lie or a green lie. It is lie, and a lie grieves God, the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God who indwells you is the Spirit of truth. And when we do not live a truthful life, when we sneak behind and we do things when others do not see us and try to hide and cover and conceal things, we grieve God, the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Pastor, okay, what happens when we grieve the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, it breaks fellowship in your life. You know, something I can remember years ago, I can remember grieving my mom and dad. I'm sad to say that. I regret all of that. But I remember grieving my dad and mom and seeing them with tears come down their face. Can I tell you what it did? It broke fellowship. It broke fellowship between me and my parents. No, I didn't get out of the family. I was still a part of their family. And I was their son. And I was going to forever be their son. But may I say to you, it broke the fellowship. Because I grieve them. Look, you parents know what it is when your child is in sin or disobedience to God. It grieves you. You know a spouse when you're not right with one another. There is a grief that goes on. And when we grieve God, the Holy Spirit, we break fellowship. And by the way, when we are living with a grieved Holy Spirit, God cannot do in our life what He wants to do in our lives. You see, this morning, there are either Christians living with a grieved Holy Spirit or an ungrieved. Can I say this to you? When's the last time God really spoke to your heart? When's the last time God dealt with you and reproved you of sin in your life? You see, what some Christians do, it's a gift. It's a permanent gift. But I'll tell you what they do. They grieve Him and grieve Him and grieve Him. And the Spirit of God deals with them and convicts them. They grieve Him. They deny Him. They say no. And they push Him aside into some room of their heart. Stay there. And I'll tell you what the Bible says. It's possible to quench the Holy Spirit. Oh no, you don't lose the Spirit of God because He's a permanent gift. Christ in you. But you have stopped His work and His influence in your life. Have you met a Christian like that? Oh, I pray this morning that you have not allowed sin to be unconfessed and unforgiven in your life, and that you've just said, it's okay, it's okay. But when a Christian lies, it grieves God. The second thing, when a Christian has uncontrolled anger, it grieves God. In fact, the Bible says that we are not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. Look here, when you go to bed at night and you've not taken care of things with a loved one or a spouse or a friend, you have grieved God, the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, don't let the sun go down. Deal with that issue. Make it right between one another. But if you live in anger in your heart, anger towards someone, anger because of what they've done, anger because of how they've hurt you, you are grieving God. You're giving place to the devil. Number three, when a Christian steals, it grieves God. You say, well, Pastor, Christians don't steal today. May I say to you that when a Christian does not pay his or her tithe, they are robbing God. They are stealing from God. I've chosen something in our church. I don't know who gives in our church. I do not. I know that me and my family, we give our tithe and we pay our offering. I know that. I don't know of anybody else, so I can say this morning. Folks, I don't know where you're at between you and God, but I know this. If you think in your heart that it is okay to rob God of 10% of your gross income, which the Bible clearly defines that that is our tithe, if you think that is okay, you are stealing from God. Malachi chapter number 3, and the Bible says, wherein have my people robbed me? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's one person I don't want to rob, and that is Almighty God. And to live my life knowing that I'm stealing from God. Is it not foolish for us to think, well, I can't make it on 90% of the income? Listen, God is able to bless you more with 90% than 100% because He has commanded all Christians to give the tithe unto God. Listen, when we cheat on our tax income, can I tell you something? We are stealing. And when a Christian steals, it robs God. I remember years ago watching my dad and the cash person at the checkout of the gas station, wherever we was at, they gave him back too much money. And my dad said, well, wait a minute, you gave me too much. And he gave it back. You know, the person kind of looked a little puzzled. Some people might think, well, praise God, he just blessed me with some extra money, you know. But no, my dad said, I'm not going to live with that. That's wrong. That's stealing. That's taking something that does not belong to me, even if someone else made a mistake. Folks, today, I want to live with an unquenched and an ungrieved Spirit of God, so the Spirit of God can teach me His Word. He can lead me in the paths of righteousness. He can lead me to those that need Jesus Christ as their Savior, that I can live with the joy of the Lord. Christ in you is a permanent gift. He's a person who can be grieved. Number 4, when a Christian has corrupt speech, it grieves God. I can still remember going back to when I first got saved. I remember the first time that I knew that I'd grieved God, Christ in me, the Holy Spirit, was when I said something I shouldn't have said. And I remember it was towards my mom and dad, and I got mad at them and I said something. And the moment the words came out of my mouth, the very moment I knew, not only had I hurt my parents, but I had grieved the Holy Spirit in me. I remember going to my room and getting on my knees and saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me of what I said. I asked my mom and dad to forgive me. You know why? Because I knew. Boy, I was sensitive to that. But I'm afraid sometimes Christians get desensitized to sin in their life. They've looked at something so much. They've watched something so much. They're just used to it. And the Spirit of God does not convict them about it anymore. Why? Because they grieve the Spirit of God. Grieve the Spirit of God. Grieve the Spirit of God. You know something? Years ago, the number one show on television was the Andy Griffith Show, you know? Thank God for that, you know? Andy and Barney. But today, can I tell you something? The shows, the primetime shows of today speak of wickedness, immorality. They speak of things that are so dishonoring for even the child of God to even talk about. But things that many Christians put into their eye gate and put into their ear gate, and they hear it and they listen to it. People taking the name of God in vain, and they wonder why God never seems to speak to their heart. They wonder why the joy is gone in their life. Can I tell you why? You are grieving Christ in you. You are grieving the Holy Spirit that indwells you. You know, the other night we had devotions in our family. And I set my children down, my wife and I. And I said to them, I said, look, there's going to come a day when you're not in our home anymore. Our daughter's going off to college. And in a couple of years, my son will be going off to college. And I said, look, you are going to make choices. You're going to decide who and what you will be. You will decide what you will put into your eye gate. You will decide what kind of friends that you will have. Mom and dad are not going to be there to say, no, 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 don't do that. No, don't look at that. No, don't go that way. We're not going to be there. But can I tell you something? The great comfort in my heart is to know that Jesus Christ indwells them. Christ in them. Christ in us keeps us from sin. He enables us to live a separated life. But when we grieve Him, when we say no to Him, when we say, no, I will not listen, we grieve Christ in you. Oh, folks, the Holy Spirit in us is our heavenly guest. He is listening to every word that we say. He is observing everything that we look at. He knows what is in our heart. And everything that is said or done in this temple of the Holy Spirit, that is done contrary to the holiness of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, grieves the Holy Spirit. Look here, can you think back with me in your mind when you first got saved? You know what it was like? Boy, the joy in your heart. You know how sin, you were sensitive to sin. Oh, I don't want to do that. Jesus indwells me. You would never go to a certain place. You would never observe certain things. Why? Because Christ indwells you. But over time, can I tell you what we allow? We get desensitized. We let this come. We let that slip. We let that go. And folks, until finally, we don't even hear the voice of God anymore. We don't even know the joy of the Lord anymore. Christ in us is grieved, and often He is quenched. You see, the Holy Spirit cannot work in your life when you have grieved Him. When you are living this morning with the grieved Holy Spirit, He will not speak to you. He will not direct you in life. Why? Because that's why the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him." May I say to you that Jesus Christ will not kick the door down of your heart? He will not say, "You're going to obey me." No. Christ in you waits for your will to surrender to His will. Number three brings us to the last thing. Christ in you is a permanent gift. Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. But number three, Christ in you is the power of God. Christ in you is the power of God. I missed one thing about Christ in you can be grieved. The Bible goes on to talk about unforgiveness and bitterness. Have you ever met a Christian before that's so bitter and unforgiving? Listen, Jesus Christ forgave you of everything. And for us to withhold forgiveness from someone grieves Christ in you. I don't know if you have heard this story. I told this story some years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago. But because I have done a lot of funerals in our area, I have got to know a lot of the funeral directors. And Dave Vernon, who has become a good friend to me, and Vernon's funeral home, and I spend a lot of time with him. We drive back and forth to the gravesite and all of that. One day I was with him, and he said to me, he said, "Pastor, have you heard the story in Urbana about the grandma?" And I said, "No." He said, "I was talking to some policemen one day, and because they help out as the dismissal and going to the gravesite and all that." And he said, "A police officer told me that there was a 91-year-old grandma driving through town one day." And he told the story. He said, "One day I was around town and, of course, keeping things in order and all that. I thank God for our police officers." And he said, "Some lady came speeding through town in a Cadillac." Speeding through town. He said, "I flipped my lights on and pulled her over." And he said, "When I ran her plates," he said, "I began to understand this is a 91-year-old lady driving like a maniac through town." And then he said, "When I pulled her plates, I began to understand she had a concealed carry license." My kind of grandma, you know. And so he thought to himself, he said, "I'm not going to give this lady a ticket. I mean, good night. I'm just glad she's able to drive, you know." And he said, "I'm going to try to slow her down." So he went to the door. He knocked on the, went to the car window, knocked on the window. And he said, "Ma'am," he said, "are you in a hurry today?" And she said, "Sonny, I'm always in a hurry, you know," and just real fiery and spitfire and all of that. And he said to her, he said, "Ma'am, all right, I want you to slow it down today, but ma'am, I do have to ask you, do you have a gun in the car? I see that you're concealed carry." And she said, "Well, yes, sir, I do." And she reached into her purse and pulled out a .38 special and held it up to him. And he said, okay, ma'am, all right, that's fine." And before he could go on, she reached underneath the seat and poured out a .45 and said, "I've got another gun right here." And before he could say anything else, she reached over in the glove box and pulled out a 9mm. The police officer, he said, "Ma'am, what in the world do you have to be afraid of?" She looked down at the 9mm, the 45, and the 38 and said, "Not a thing in this world, you know?" Well, let me tell you something, all right? And I love that story. He told that to me. I laughed. I thought, "I'm going to find that lady and get her in this church, you know? We'll put her in charge of security, you know?" So, but, you know, the truth of the matter is, we live in a world today that there are so many fears, are there not? The fear of the future, the fear of life, the fear of our health declining, the fear of so much. But folks, may I say to you, Christ in you is the power of God. It's that divine enablement to live. Look here. Christ in you enables you to live a holy life in an unholy world. Christ in you enables you to live a separated life in an unseparated world. Christ in you allows you and enables you to live a life of freedom in a world of bondage. Why? It's not us. Do you understand today that Christ in you is the power of God? And may I ask you something? Is the Holy Spirit welcome in your life? You say, well, Pastor, of course He's welcome. No, here's the question. Is He welcome? Is He welcome to go any door of your heart? Is He welcome to reside in you and take control? Do you know that God, as I said, has not asked us to let to us to live the Christian life? He's asked you to let Him live His life through you. Look here, in my flesh, the Bible says, dwells no good thing. In fact, the Bible says, the flesh profiteth me nothing. Can I tell you what that means? In my own strength, I can do nothing. In my own strength, I will fail. In my own strength, I will give in to sin. And all of us know that we do many times. But that's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was not saying, I can do anything I want to do. I can do all things that God has asked me to do. I can do all things that Christ has commanded me to do. I can live the Christian life. Because may I say to you today that the Christian life is not a set of rules. It's not a set of do's and don'ts. Jesus Christ is the Christian life. No person here can live the Christian life. Only Jesus Christ can live the Christian life through your life. Look, my body is just a vessel. It's just a container. You know, today I'll go home and you'll go maybe to a restaurant or you go home and we will take containers, vessels, and we'll pour water or whatever it may be into it to drink. Listen, you have to have a vessel. And the Lord is looking for vessels this morning, clean vessels, yielded vessels unto Him. But Christ in you is the power of God. He enables you. Go back to Romans, if you would please. In Romans chapter number 8. And by the way, you say, well, Pastor, if Christ lives in me and He is the power of God, then why do I live so weak? And why am I so powerless? And why am I so defeated? And why am I under the bondage of sin habits in my life? I'll tell you why. Because it is a matter of surrender. It's a matter of yielding. Look here, let's be honest with ourselves. None of us really want to surrender to God. The great battle today is a battle between you and God. Look, young people, you're not fighting against mom and dad. You're fighting against God. You're not fighting against the teacher. You're fighting against God. You're not fighting against your spouse. You're fighting against God. That's the real issue. It is you and God. That's where life comes down to. And the reason why at times I do not have victory and the power of God in my life is because I've not yielded. We resist. Romans chapter 8, let's look at it. Look in verse number 2. Let's go back. The Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What's that mean? It means if Jesus indwells you, you don't have to obey sin any longer. Look, before you got saved, you obeyed sin. You had to. You were sin's master. I mean, you were a slave to sin, but no longer. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. Romans 8, verse 10, it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That means to make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Notice verse number 26. We read on here. The Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Do you have any infirmities this morning? You know what they are? They're shortcomings. Do you have any weaknesses? We all do. But the Spirit who indwells us helps us with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look what the Bible says in verse number 31. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look here today. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know this person I deal with. If Jesus indwells you, listen, you have power in Christ. Power to live victoriously. Power. Listen, you don't have to be a slave to your emotions. You don't have to be a slave to the sin habits in life. Christ indwells you. That's why Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, He said, I am come that they might have life. That's eternal life. But that they might have it more abundantly. Can I tell you what that is? That's the power of God in you. That's Jesus enabling you. That's Jesus strengthening you. But the problem is, we don't want to submit. We do not want to surrender. Sometimes we love our sin more than we love our Savior. Sometimes we enjoy talking about the past rather than letting Christ give us victory over the past. Sometimes we enjoy complaining about things rather than letting Jesus conquer those things in our life. And Jesus, He is the great physician. He is the cure this morning. He is the answer. Listen, Jesus Christ, He is the key this morning to revival and to the quickening life of Jesus Christ. Folks, may I say to you, the Holy Spirit is God's eternal presence in your life, and He's also God's eternal resource for your life. Oh, listen, today, you say, I can't, Pastor. I can't. I know, but Jesus can. Years ago, I heard this story back in the mid-1800s of a preacher. His name was J. Elder Cumming. Mr. Cumming was a pastor of a church. His wife had died years before, and Mr. Cumming was a man who loved to debate people. He was contentious. He was cantankerous. In fact, one day, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, met J. Elder Cumming, and it is noted that D.L. Moody said, after spending 10 or 15 minutes with J. Elder Cumming, said, that man is the most cantankerous Christian I have ever met. How would you like that to be said about you? That's what D.L. Moody said of J. Elder Cumming. Well, God began to do a work in J. Elder Cumming's life. One day, and by the way, Mr. Cumming had always criticized all the Bible conferences around where men would come and preach. And so one day, instead of criticizing the conference, he thought, I'm going to go to find out all the things about this conference so then I can criticize it better, you know? So Mr. Cumming went to the area around where he was there, and he went to this conference on Monday. The preacher got up and preached on the sins of the converted life, talking about the sins that we all don't really want to admit or confess. And boy, God dealt with him, and he became so mad and so angry. He went back to his room that night. He was so upset, but the next day he went back, and the preacher preached that Jesus is the answer. And God began to soften Mr. Cumming's heart. And on the Wednesday night, the message was on our surrender to God, giving up, yielding to the Lord, saying yes to the Lord. And that night, J. Elder Cumming, who was a saved man, surrendered his life to the Lord. He gave up things. And God began to do a revolutionary change in J. Elder Cumming's life. 3 years later, D.L. Moody came in contact with J. Elder Cumming. Now, the man that said, that's the most cantankerous Christian I've ever met, J. Elder Cumming, he came in contact with D.L. Moody, and he spoke with him. And after he left, he said to the friend standing by, what happened to J. Elder Cumming? And he said this. He said, a man in whom is so changed, a man so full of the love of God. I'll tell you what happened. It's not that he got saved. He was already a Christian. It was not that Jesus did not want to work through his life and give him the joy of the Lord and victory in his life. It was a matter of yielding to God. Look here. The difference in your life and in my life is whether we will yield our hearts to God. What area in your life right now, I want you to listen to me closely, you are not yielding to God, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit? What area are you not saying, Lord, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way? What area are you saying, God, it's my will. I want my will to be done. This is my thinking. When we surrender and die, and by the way, self is the greatest disturber in your life and in my life. Self wants its way. Self wants to reign. Self wants to rule. It's today the great thing is crown King I. King I, live forever. That's what we want. That's what I want. But when we yield ourselves to Jesus Christ, when we say, God, live your life through me. God, I want you. I want others to see Jesus through my life. And Lord, give me the joy of the Lord. When we do that, when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, can I tell you something? There is joy beyond what you can ever imagine. There is victory. Oh, it doesn't mean there's no trials. It doesn't mean there's no battles. It doesn't mean there's no heartache or sorrow. But it means this, Christ in you is being seen. I know of Christians. I know of some in this church. Where when I see them, I'm going to tell you what I see. I see Christ in them. I see it. But there have been times in my life when my wife or my children have not been able to see Jesus in me. And it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It is my fault, my sin of not yielding to the Lord. Today, Christ in you. He's a permanent gift. But he's a person who can be grieved. But he is the power of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.